Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines. It is 11:31 according to my clock, and I'll be with you until 2 in the afternoon. We've been talking about several things today, COVID-19 predominantly, especially because we have the extension of the national pause. It's a lockdown, basically. And there's so much that people have to say. People have a lot on their mind. People also have questions. I've seen so many questions come up in the WhatsApp. One question is, what is a mini mart? We have been told that mini marts are allowed to open, but what constitutes a mini mart? Is a village shop a mini mart? Does mini mart have to be in the name for it to constitute a mini mart? How do we know what is a mini mart and what is a village shop? That is a question. There are questions about the opening of the post office. Is the post office open from Thursday through to Monday? People seem to be unclear about some of the messages. There was also someone who was asking about getting a bus permit. How does one do this during this national pause? I hope that someone can help us with answers to some of these questions. But what the questions indicate is that although there have been guidelines provided and information, that perhaps there are some areas that still require further clarification. So we have quite a few calls on the line. Let's take one of them. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Grayson, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
That's good. I'm hanging in here. There are a few things that I wanted to, think through with you today. Like you, I'm very conscious that there is a family in deep pain over the loss of a loved one. So I'm going to as well try to keep the conversation general in out of sensitivity for that family. Now, last year when we were past our first COVID, I don't know what we had then, whether it was a lockdown pause, I'm not sure. But when we were past that period, there came the discussion about the reopening of the economy. And I remember one of the points that was put on the table very clearly by the National Organization of Women, almost at every point where there was a discussion about the reopening of the economy, we noted that there was a concern with care work. We noted that there was a way in which care work has always affected women unequally, and how coming out of the pandemic, we had seen again women affected by care work unequally. And in case people don't know, when you talk about care work, what you mean, care of the young, care of the elderly, care of the home, that type of thing.
Yes.
We were clear that for our economy to reopen safely, we needed to think about the provision of support for all women, but then women who were going back to categories of employment that we knew had higher risk factors. Example, the hospitality sector. Example, essential services, so on and so forth. That particular challenge is one that we've gone into another lockdown, national pause, whatever you choose to verbiage it, we've gone into this period again, and that issue is outstanding. We had also talked about how social factors affect the way that a pandemic hits ground in a particular country. So, because we understand the composition of households and families, because we understand that there are many single-headed households in Barbados where women care the elderly on one side and young children on the other side, when the discussion about the elderly and the protection of the elderly came about, one of the things that we had on our radar was how do we create the bubbles that we needed to have, the circuit breaker activity, whether you call it lockdown, whether you call it national pause, whatever. The point is we were trying to break the transmission circuits of COVID. And one of the ways that we had to be able to do that was to understand how families in Barbados are constructed. That is not something that you can take from a WHO model. It is not something that you can take from a textbook anywhere. It has to be something that you work on in conjunction with your social scientists, your civil society, the individuals who understand the way that the community is constructed. So where am I going with all of this? Where I'm going with all of this is that we have now become, from what my research is showing, and if it is not correct, then I would love for the government to come and say what it really is. But from my research, we have just become the second nation in CARICOM behind Jamaica to lose the life of a child to COVID or COVID-related
a condition.
Yes, happening.
COVID complications.
A COVID complication. And so I think it is high time. The mothers of Barbados have been trying for a few weeks well to have a few conversations with the government, because the mothers of Barbados well are the ones who understand how their households are constructed and how they need to be able to keep their family members safe.
Can I just interject here a minute? Would you mind if I
go ahead.
Add a contribution, because I can't quite find the WhatsApp. There's so many coming in, but I do remember reading one of the WhatsAppers who noted that, and I believe it is a mother, has a concern about her child. I'm assuming it's her. So whoever the person is, if I'm wrong, sorry. But the child going to the other parent's household because they do not know if the other parent is doing things in a safe way, is trying to remain at home as far as possible, not socializing and doing all of the things that need to be done. So this parent was saying that they're somewhat concerned about this requirement that their child needs to go to the other household and then come back. Not that they don't want the child to interact with their other parent, but they have a concern for the safety. So I think this is something that people have on their minds.
And unfortunately, in a press conference a couple of weeks ago, it was made to seem like the women of Barbados simply do not want to follow the rule of the court. And I thought it was most unfortunate, because this has to do more with how people are trying to actually follow the government's directives to try to keep their families safe and to try to keep within a single familial bubble. Not to mention that across the world, I've seen the ones from Singapore, Australia, the UK, I've seen from different states in America, as well as some places in Canada. Wherever there is a circuit breaker activity, national pause, lockdown, however you verbiage it, court orders are usually suspended, because what you are actually trying to do is to stop individuals from crossing spaces. But it's not only that way that it has been turned into, the care of children has been turned into an unfortunate thing and something that almost weaponizes womanhood. We also have this thing about the suspension of maintenance payments. Now listen, we have to talk about people not working. Of course we have to talk about people not working. But every sector in Barbados outside of entrepreneurship, according to our census data, last census being 2010, tells us that women are more employed in every sector of our economy in Barbados than men, except entrepreneurship. So it says to me that if men are being impacted by unemployment in Barbados because of COVID, women are doubly impacted. And we just also noted that we have a number of single female-headed households. So while the men might not be able to pay, then we have to hear from the government, how are we going to stay true to our commitment to the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which says that if the father is not in a position to provide the maintenance, then the state has to step in and ensure that the child's rights are not,
infringed upon.
Provide for the child, okay?
Right.
Now, the final thing that I want to say in my contribution today, I heard you raise it before, Christina. I thank you for doing that, because it seems to me like journalism in Barbados needs urgent resuscitation. In relation to how this death of this child was reported, I have questions. I would like to know exactly when this event happened. And the reason why I would like to know exactly when it happened is because, as you noted, this was not something that swished about WhatsApp from, sources that were dubious sources. The medical chief of staff of the Eric Williams Medical Unit is the one that brought the attention of the world to the loss of that life, that child's life in Barbados. And that individual is one who I recognize to have been affiliated with the University of the West Indies at Cave Hill at one point. So I'm just saying that to say, when you get that level of information from that level of person, there is no reason to doubt the person's veracity or to believe that that type of person would use that type of platform to put untruths out there. In fact, she was speaking in relation to the AstraZeneca vaccine that we're all now being asked to invest in Barbados. And she was making the point that AstraZeneca had just started trials for individuals between 6 and 17 years old, but that the trials had not been completed. And so in the context of that, we had to make sure that we keep children protected because of the multi-symptom inflammatory syndrome in children, short named MIS-C. So in the context, the reason why I'm asking about the loss of this life then is that with this piece of news that was clearly connected to the press conference that we had yesterday at 12 o'clock, Trinidad and Tobago had their official press conference around the same time that we had ours. So for her to have been seized of that information to be able to use it in her official presentation, in her official capacity, she would have had to get it, I am thinking, with ample time that this information and the trial information and all which she spoke about, which is important to us, should also have been in our press conference. If we want people to invest, if we want Barbados to move past this period, we have to make sure that we're communicating with people in a way that is sensible, in a way that is free from contradiction, and in a way that people are going to invest in the veracity of the message. If we are not able to do that, then we are going to create some of the discomfort, some of the fears, some of the confusion that is going on in the society. The doctor just said, if you don't have an essential reason to leave home, stay home. But in Barbados,
I have some. Go on. I had a question for you before you go on.
Quite unlike.
Go ahead. You finish.
This is the last sentence. Quite unlike what is happening in the rest of the world, for whatever reason in Barbados, access has been classed as an essential movement. And I'm not saying it should not be. I'm just saying in the context of the science, and in the context of what other regions of the world has done, we don't need to be told, follow the law or else. We need to understand from our policymakers what is the rationale and what is the reason for their decision. Go ahead, Christina.
Right. So I am just, and thank you for all that you said. Very useful perspectives and quite impassioned contribution as well. There is someone who earlier, when I mentioned this, asked on the WhatsApp if perhaps our government was protecting the rights of the parents of the child who had passed, who has passed, and perhaps they needed to speak to that family prior to releasing this information. So, and this is just speculation, of course, but maybe this was out of sensitivity for the family that was experiencing this loss. I really don't know the reason.
Really,
but
I don't know what the person means, because at the end of the day, there are several rights that have been set aside with respect to COVID, because we understand that that protection of the public has to be paramount right now, Christina. As you know, as a citizen of a country, you're not usually, there are not many restrictions that apply to a citizen of a country traveling into a country yet. Almost every country in the world now is saying to you, if you don't have a PCR test, you cannot come to a country that traditionally you would call home, that you couldn't make a person stateless, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen all of that change in the blink of an eye with COVID. The way that the COVID statistics are collated and disseminated to the public already takes into mind all of the person issues, all of the privacy issues. There is a way that it is done. Names are not called, so on and so forth. There is no real reason why it should vary if the person's life that is lost is a minor. That doesn't make sense to my mind. But, you know, again, this is why conversation and frank conversation from the government is necessary, because if you want people to invest trust, you have to create communication that underlies that want.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for these contributions. I think it really is important for us to think beyond economic terms and also in terms that are nuanced. So as you said, what are family structures in Barbados like? So our families may very well be, are often not families in which everyone in the family is living in the same household. And at a time when we are telling people to stay home, this throws up some complications because part of your family is not home with you. And when you have this movement into another household, back and forth between households, this can cause some dangers. How are we addressing this? And how seriously are we taking the contributions of those in the care economy? As you were speaking, there was a message that came in from someone who I suppose owns a daycare facility. And this person is asking, is there anything in place to assist those who own daycare facilities, childcare facilities, and who are closed at this time? Are they eligible for some of this relief that is being offered to other businesses? I would tell the person that perhaps they should inquire with official sources, because it seems reasonable that they may be considered. But these are all things that we do have to bear in mind. It's a very new situation for all of us. I thank you so much for your contributions. Let's take another call, shall we? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, welcome to the program.
Yeah, very blessed, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm fair, you know. I'm in good health, I believe.
Okay, all of us. I have a problem. I'm a pensioner. And my pension came yesterday. I have little figures to talk, and the bottom is blank. And I don't seem to get it through to no one.
Oh dear. So you need to get through to someone at the National Insurance?
I call in there, and I ain't getting no reply. Got two numbers. And I have not getting any reply at all. I need someone to talk to me that I can get my funds. I don't have anything in the house to eat.
This is a difficult situation. And I've seen some other people in the WhatsApp also noting, you have some feedback in your background, right? So who've also noted that they cannot get through to the numbers at the National Insurance. I really don't know how I can advise you. Probably you have to keep calling, and I hope that someone is hearing you right now on the radio and may be willing to provide some kind of assistance, perhaps an additional number for pensioners in particular to contact if they're having issues. And this is not even a situation now where you can go into the NAS, because if we were not in a lockdown situation, you could probably go down there and find out what's happening with your check. So this is quite a difficult situation.
Very much so.
But do remember that there was a notice on the radio indicating that the National Insurance telephone lines are down. I did hear that in one of our commercial breaks. So the other thing that you might want to do is when we go to a break again, listen for these advertisements. If you have someone who maybe can check the website and see if there are other ways that you can contact the National Insurance.
Okay. If they are listening, can they take a number and call?
Okay, we can let you leave your number with the producer if you want, in case someone calls. Okay, thank you for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today is February the 16th, and I am Dr. Christina Hines. The numbers that you can reach us on are 434-1790 for calls and for WhatsApp messages, 266-4862. Now, speaking about numbers, we had a caller earlier who was concerned about a potential error on her pension check, and she was unable to reach the National Insurance office. You may have heard some advertisements indicating that the phone lines are down, and an authority at the National Insurance has reached out to us, and that person has been put in contact with them. But we also have a mobile and WhatsApp number for the National Insurance. That's 231-5176. So maybe there's somebody else out there that might need that. I also have seen some information. I went looking on the GIS website. So the Ministry of People's Empowerment and Elder Affairs has a 24-hour hotline for those who are vulnerable and who may need some assistance. The number is 536-4673 or 536-HOPE. And this is in addition to the COVID hotline, which is 536-4500. I know some people have noted that they've had issues getting through to the COVID hotline. Perhaps one of these other numbers might be useful for them to contact, depending on what the issue is. And also, if there are other people who are in similar situations where they don't have food at home, they're struggling in some other way, they could contact one of these numbers for the Ministry of People's Empowerment and Elder Affairs. Again, 536-4673 and 536-HOPE. And that's in addition to the COVID hotline, 536-4500. So that's just some information I wanted to share. The WhatsApp has been quite a buzz with people asking that we provide this kind of information so that people can have some assistance with getting through to those who they need to contact. There have also been some questions in here about hardware stores. There are people indicating that they have things that need repairing, things that have a refrigerator, one person says, has broken down and they can't get to the hardware store. And there are some questions as to whether, even if for brief periods, there should be some openings of hardware stores so that people can make repairs that are necessary around the house. Now, we know that this can lead to other problems, potentially, if too many places are open, but maybe this bears some consideration. I also received a message from a media worker who will remain unnamed, who indicated that they are accustomed to receiving the numbers of deaths from COVID-19 in Barbados the day after, and that they would not assume that this is being treated any differently. So this is the passing of a child, because it is a child, that this is basically the procedure. And that even though this person may have heard about this previously, they thought it might have been reckless to introduce this question at the press conference. So that is just another perspective, perhaps, on the reason why maybe this reporting was a little bit later in Barbados than in other places, just for information. We have some calls, and you know we go to the news at 12:30. So let's see if we can get through some of these between now and then. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Welcome to
Hello,
the program.
And welcome to you. And all the
go
best
ahead.
New, all the best
thank
for
you.
New Year. Hello?
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. It's not so new now, but thank you still.
Okay. Well, it's new for me. I first time speaking to you.
Okay. Well, we can work with Chinese New Year. So then we're good.
Right. Because you understand that the year used to start in March, I think.
Yes.
Before they actually manipulate the time, you know?
That's true. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, first thing, I want to tell every people that the person that called earlier about what is a mini mart, I say as a small shop, it could be a small shop that is self-serving. You know, ain't have in a counter shop. You walk in and you take your thing, but it's a small little supermarket, right?
Okay.
I would consider the supermarket up in Church Village St. Philip as a mini mart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if that's a supermarket. That never the close, you know.
So once you can go and take things off the shelf yourself, you would consider that a mini mart
as opposed to
you having to go and call for something.
Right. And it could be small, like a shop, like the one there in Belmont Road. I don't know if you know that shop in Belmont Road. That small, like a shop, but you go in and you self-serve yourself. So I would consider that as a mini mart.
Interesting.
Right. Okay.
I wonder if the government is using the same definition that you are.
Mm, right. And the next thing about the hardware stores, right? I think the next business that, if I had to go into business again, right, I would try to go into supermarket, so I could see what's happening now, right? And I would make sure that I got a hardware store in the middle of my supermarket so that when I rest shut down, I still open. Right? That's smart. That to me is very clever. Right?
Isn't there a hardware store that during the last lockdown opened a supermarket section? Did you not hear of that?
The supermarket, the hardware section?
They opened the supermarket section. So they were then able to open during the lockdown because they were a supermarket, mini mart kind of configuration in addition to the hardware store.
Mm-hmm. But I know of a supermarket door that when hardware shut down and it's in the middle of a hardware center. I call a part this, I don't want to identify the place, but this place not being a hardware center. When all the hardware store closed, that place still open because they have the hardware store inside of the supermarket. And it's not closed. Mm-hmm. Don't go to yesterday, right? And there you see people in the hardware section too, right? Okay. And the thing is, you could sell your chemicals and got it on the same line as the food stuff and all that type of thing. You know, going on the same belt. Not on your own.
I think whoever is operating that store might need to be careful, because I also heard of another entity that has dual functions. It's a pharmacy as well as a store. And the store segment of it ended up being closed down by the COVID monitoring unit, and only the pharmacy section and the items that, you know, like vitamins and medications, Panadols and so on, were able to be sold. So even if this person or this business may be getting away with this right now, they might need to follow up and make sure that they can actually continue to do what they're doing and are not infringing on any of the regulations. Mm-hmm. That's all I would say. I don't know, but I would advise whatever entity is doing this to check.
Well, you see, in this life is who you know, right? Once you with a big up and you got politician friends, you could do what you want to do, right?
Exactly.
And don't tell me that politics is not involved in even the COVID thing now too, because a politician can't look at me and tell me they're not being political, right? You know, I listen to you, Prime Minister.
I agree with you.
Right. I know you agree, because that's why I call you right now, because I listen. I had to tell a lady, I ain't really calling this program, but I hear a lady that I like on this program, right?
Okay.
Not that you agree with me, but I like women that not only educated, but got the common sense and also wisdom, right? And that's what you're hearing coming true, right?
Well, thank you.
You cannot be a politician. And to me, sophistry is a good thing. Although it look evil, it's a good thing to have for a politician, because sophistry is vain, like something like impression greater than facts. That is sophistry. Because we know that is not really should be so, but that is who it is, right? Things like that.
Right.
So you could get and you could say you're not being political, you're getting the other party this and that, but remove yourself then from there. You ain't going to do that. Once you're there, you're political. Because people looking, you trying to do your best to actually, you know, win the next election or whatever. So don't tell me it's not politics. And I will say one thing with this. I know it can sound insensitive, but it is real. I'm keeping it real, right?
Right.
You cannot have a pandemic and do not expect people to die. So I know Belgians think God is a Belgian, and I mean nothing wrong with that, right? I agree with it too. But once you hear somebody in another country say so, they instead of saying church as us, right? I say it that way, right? Nothing wrong with being proud of yourself, right? But you cannot have a pandemic and do not expect people to die. And that's why
we want to limit the death, so.
Yeah, I know.
And I think the concern we have right now is that perhaps we are exceeding the number of deaths that we should be seeing.
We are exceeding the amount of death in a pandemic. Without we talking
about? Well, it is a pandemic, but we can exercise some controls and have some constraints so that as far as possible we protect human life. We know it is a pandemic, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept that lives will be lost and just carry on. I think we have to do whatever we can to decrease the loss of life.